live. We are live. Let me do some sharing. Good morning. Hey, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Good morning. Hey, Miss Williams. Hey, Vanessa Buckner. Can y'all hear me on Facebook and YouTube? If so, just give me a thumbs up. If you will give me a thumbs up, it will make me feel so good. Josiah is making me pull my mic out so we can have good sound quality. I'm so ugly because I ain't want to do it. Give me a thumbs up if you... Let me pull my mic out so we can have good sound quality. I know you want to do it. Hey, y'all. Hey. Then it keeps dealing with me talking about you asked me to level you up. So stop complaining. Oh, hold on, Insta. We look a little crooked. There we go. Hey, y'all. Good morning. Y'all, good morning. Thank you, Katina Davis, for always sharing the video. Let me share it into groups. Woo! Thank you. Let me get my shares in. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Ooh, thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for glory. Thank you. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Today gonna be a good day. Thank you. Thank you. Is that it? There we go. Oof. Y'all shared. I'm shared. Y'all ready? We got our share on this morning. Good morning. How y'all doing? Hey, this Shannon. Hey, Courtney. Hey, Auntie. Hey, Nia. Hey, George King. Hey, Josiah Johnson. Hey, Jamaica. Hey, Lynette. Hey, Cynthia. Ooh. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Y'all ready? Y'all sharing? Still got some people sharing. Come on. Keep sharing. Good morning, Star. Hey, Deshae. Hey, Kira. Good morning, Kirby from Oklahoma, where my baby will be this upcoming year. Ooh. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Y'all ready? We just sharing. We coming in. We sharing. Tell me something you grateful for. Come on. Hey, Ella. Hey, Miss Sandra. There y'all go. Y'all sharing. Keep sharing. Just I got my mic. We sharing. Y'all keep sharing. Come on. Oh, my God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for instructions. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for knowledge. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for just how kind you are to us. Thank you for the vision for our lives. My God, thank you. Thank you for fresh oil. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. My God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. I'm thankful for friends. I'm grateful for friendships. Like, I'm really grateful for friends, and not just, oh, I got friends who iron sharpen iron. Like, I'm grateful for friends who laugh with you, friends who laugh at you. Friends, I'm grateful for that. Like, friends who laugh with you, friends that laugh at you. Sometimes we go way too serious and deep in life. So, and I'm grateful for friends who just allow me. It's cold. George said, grateful for the Cody wear. Yes, George. I'm grateful for friends who allow me to be me. I don't want to have to show up in any version of myself to make you comfortable. And so I'm grateful for friends. I'm grateful for my friends that allow me to be me. I'm grateful for my friends who almost went down. I'm grateful for those friends. I think that's important. And not allow me to be some version of me that's not me, but allow me to just be and operate in my authentic self and to just be, right? So I'm really thankful for that. I'm grateful for God, for who he is, for his love. Y'all, Lex up this morning. I guess he's going to teach with me this morning. Y'all can find me later on in the faith room. I think it happens at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. So if you want a double dose, I'll be in the faith room this morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's pray. Let's get started. Let's get in the word. Can you type this in the comment? I'm expecting something from God. Woo! Come on. Edie, I love little joys. I love Lex. You're going to get put out. If you're not going to act right in here, if you're not going to be in here and act like you got some sense, you're going to get put out. You're moving lights. You want to get put out? Then you better lay down. Better lay down or you're going to get put out. Make your mind up. Okay, I'm sorry. Lex in here being uncooperative. I like little joys too. Little joys are the things that just... My God, anytime somebody's thinking about me, anytime somebody encourages me, those are little joys. I think I've said before, gifts are my love language. So anytime somebody shows up with a simple little gift, it could be lip gloss, it could be anything. Like, those things just do something for me. So I thank you for saying that, Edie. I'm grateful for little joys. But I want you to get your expectation up. I want you to understand that God is moving, that he is working, that there will be some suddenlies in your life, that you are living in the privilege of God. If you have not been on that prayer call on Saturday mornings, you are missing it. I promise you. And I promise you, if you push on Saturday mornings to get there at 7, your 1 hour of extra sleep or however extra you sleep on or whatever else you got going on, I promise you, the prayer call and the devotion will make up for it. It is not like this morning. Hey, you still got a few days to guarantee your spot or secure your spot for Pillow Talk. You got some little time. You got Friday. I think it's till Friday to go ahead and put your deposit down for Pillow Talk. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you because it's going to happen. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We love you in all things. We have been in the book of Joshua. And I want to get into it. I want to pray that your eyes are open to the understanding of who he called you to be in Christ Jesus, that you receive and get the revelation knowledge you are of who you are so that you will not be confused by anything else. I know God to be a proofer, right? Be a proofer. You know, I have a publishing company. And so we proof everything. We proof the edits after the edits. We proof the cover. God is to be a proofer, right? He is proofing you. He will confirm you. He will confirm who you are. He will confirm you. What you are called to do is called to grow. And I'm not talking about so much as quantity, but the quality of what you do should shift and change and move and all of those things over the year. And he backs that up in his word. I'm not giving you something that's not in his word. John 15, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever is to remain in me is to bear much fruit. Type that in your notes today. I am to bear much fruit. So I want to give you some, God showed me, because we use this scripture all the time. And I was just thinking about how we are married sometimes to plans. Ooh, when God may be switching the game up. God is allowed, entitled, and can change the path, the direction. You can go to scripture, and it happened multiple times. Even when the men had come to see Jesus, the Lord spoke to them and said, hey, don't you go back. Their plan was to go back to Herod, right? And God warned them and said, hey, don't you go back to Herod, right? Who was it that was in, who was riding on a donkey, and there was an angel that was trying to prevent him from going in a certain direction. And he thought that was the direction that he was supposed to go in. But finally the donkey, we always talk about the donkey crowd, but the donkey spoke up. And the reason that the donkey spoke up was because he was going into the wrong direction. And so if we are to bear much fruit, right, then we are to be sensitive to the voice of God. We are to understand the voice of God. We are to be sensitive to his ways. And I'm going to tell you this because it happens often. When Moses was traveling or doing what he was doing with the Israelites, and he had gone up into the mountain to get the laws, to get the instructions, and then they would return. Woo! They would return or revisit their old pattern of ways, because they would go back to what was comfortable and what's familiar with them. I'm telling you, as you are to capture, or you are transitioning to your new season, or you have walked into a new territory, this is not about what you're familiar with. So I want to take you to a particular scripture, because this scripture came up and we hear this scripture all the time. But I need to tell you what was going on with Paul right here. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises, Lord, I thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding to the hope of who you called us to be in Christ Jesus. We do not call ourselves. Ooh! These are not our dreams. These are not our visions. These are not our programs. These are not our ministries. These are not our businesses. All of this belongs to you, because we belong to you. And if we have not been good stewards over what you have called us to do, or if we are not sensitive to your voice, to what you are saying, to what your instructions are, then quicken us today, Holy Spirit, so that we don't have a mindset where we continue to operate on a path or on a journey that's going away from what you call to do. Let us not be married to principles and precepts that belonged into one season and that don't come into this next or new season. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for correction. Thank you for guidance. Thank you for wisdom. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need to know you more as teacher. Woo! We need to know you more as teacher. We need to know you more as teacher. Teach us your ways. Let our ways be your ways. Ooh, let us come out of comfort and move into what could seem uncomfortable so that we can be more pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? You got to be careful coming. You got to be okay coming to comfort. I'll give you this. I had a nonprofit organization for 15 years. Never in my life would I have thought I would have closed the door on the nonprofit organization, but I clearly heard God. And had I not followed the instructions of God, what would have probably happened? Well, one, I would have been disobedient. Two, I wouldn't have been able to walk into full-time ministry at the gap capacity. God has called me a full-time ministry, but I could not be concerned about what people think. Some people did not agree with what I did. This was my late husband's baby. I just walked alongside my husband. Still got a passion and a mission for things, to see things happen in sickle cell, but that wasn't my journey. That wasn't the part of my story. And so when the Lord started instructing me, and when my late husband left, he had given me all these instructions of, you know, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, this is what you do. And I was clearly in a place when I heard God tell me, hey, you need to close these doors. Like, you need to close this door. I first tried to vet someone else. I tried to vet two people to take over the organization. They did not. I tried to groom two people to take over the organization. I tried to do everything possible. But when I felt the Lord, he made me close the door quickly. He didn't even give me a long time to do it. He was like, you need to go on and close this door. It was so hard because we accomplished all sorts of things. I'm going to help you. Just come on. We had accomplished all sorts of things. We had been in all sorts of places. We had done so many things. My husband chaired the legislative task force, late husband, because I don't want my new boo watching thinking, boo, I'm ready for you. My late husband chaired the legislative task force for sickle cell. We have an adult clinic in sickle cell here now in the state. We were making moves. We were making shakes. But this was, I was not to carry continue to carry this part of the vision. And it seems crazy because that doesn't look like how the story was written or how the story was told. I just need to tell you that, right? So 2 Corinthians 1:20, because we use this all the time. It says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Now, the promises of God are yes and amen. God does not change his mind about you. I need you to hear me this. God does not change his mind about you in particular. God doesn't change his mind about his love for you. God doesn't change his mind about how he sees you, how he envisioned you. But God can alter the direction of things so if so he chooses. We got to understand that God can alter the direction of something so he chooses. We only see in part. We do not see in full capacity. Or if we saw everything in full capacity, we would not live a life of faith. Faith is not what I see. First, my faith in Jesus. Faith is not in what I see. Whoa! So in 2 Corinthians 1:20, because every promise of God is yes and amen. Every promise of God is yes and amen. Every spiritual blessing of God is yes and amen. But there are some times and some positions and places. Remember, I told you, Paul was on the road to do what he was called to do. When Paul had shifted to go persecute Christians, he was working for Roman government, right? Like, it's just so much to this. So 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. This is why it is through them that we utter our amen to God for his glory. When Jesus found himself at the woman at the well, he had took a different direction. Woo! Come on. So you can't be afraid or to take a different direction. Sometimes we get so married to processes we would run if we saw it all. Sometimes we get so married to processes or so. Sometimes we get so married to purpose or to what we think God has called us to do that we are not flexible in a shift when God may be saying something else. And I'm gonna give it to you. I got it. So in 2 Corinthians 1:20, the people were accusing Paul of being really kind of double-minded. They were dealing with Paul because they were like, you saying yes and you saying no. And Paul is simply saying, Irish, I'm not saying yes and no. He had to alter the course so he could serve them better. Woo! Come on now. Paul had to change the game plan up so that he could serve them better. Paul was led by the Spirit of God. This is why 1 Corinthians 2:14, I think I meditated, or we even on the devotional, meditated that for a couple of years, learning how to discern by the Spirit. I have to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit. Can I be sensitive to the emotions that I have attached to the thing? Woo! Come on. I cannot, because sometimes I'm emotionally attached to something. And what it feels like is my heart is felt ripped out when I have to let go of a thing. Or if the Lord requires or asks me to change or to switch something up, for me, I think in my flesh, oh, this looks double-minded or this looks unstable. No, the Lord told me to alter the course or change the direction or do something a little different. Josiah's been in this program and he was talking to me and I said, what's wrong? He said, their ways are so antiquated. He said, and they're probably missing what they need to tap into our generation. And then he asked me the other day, he said, how are y'all serving our generation with y'all ideas without really talking to us about what we need next? Woo! Yeah, come on. Yeah, Ebony, we like to use the word pivot. But here's Paul. Paul says, they fussing at Paul. They have really fussed at Paul. That's what they said. They were like, you saying yes and you saying no. And Paul is like, I'm not saying yes and I'm not saying no. What I'm having to do is alter the course so I can serve you better. Come on, right? He was motivated to be as Christ to them. He was motivated to be as Christ to them. That's what he was motivated by. He wasn't motivated by, I'm in purpose. This is what God called me to do. This is what I have to say. No, he was motivated in being like Christ to him. They were trying to say that changes Paul had made were selfish changes. But the changes that Paul had made, what he was doing, he was doing for them. It was not about him. It was not about his call. It was not about his purpose. I remember when God had told me to go down to the devotional to one day. It was the hardest thing. I told y'all that the other day. It was the hardest thing in the world to do. But it was so much better for me to obey God than it was for me to do my own thing, right? We as humans find it difficult to adjust plans. It's just our human nature. We do not like to adjust plans. And those of us that may be attached to a vision, attached to a plan, we don't like typically for those things to change as well. You may be in a season where you need to adjust your plans. You may be in a season where you need to, I hope this serves as confirmation, that you may need to be in a season where you need to adjust plans, where you have been so married and so committed to one way of doing things that you are missing a move of God. You need to do spiritual checkups on a, Lord, am I where you're supposed to be? Is this going the way that you're supposed to be? Am I doing this the way that you're supposed to be? Am I handling life the way you're supposed to be? Because emotional ties to things will keep us, emotional ties to people will keep us in the same pattern, in the same direction. And then can't nobody tell you nothing, right? Like just being for real, when the spirit brings you the instructions or wisdom sets before you, when you are emotionally tied to a thing, it'll sound wrong, but it won't necessarily be wrong. Woo! Come on. So Paul is like, I'm adjusting the plans to fit the needs. Woo! I'm not doing this out of selfish goals. I'm not doing this for my namesake. I'm not doing this to be popular. I'm adjusting the goals to fit the needs, right? It was for the whole benefit of the whole. Come on now. He was telling me, he says, God is leading me to do this. And what I'm called to do doesn't negate God's plan for you. God just needs to show up a little differently and handle this a little differently. Oh, come on now. God is leading me this for you. And so you have to be able to discern when God does that. The scripture, when the donkey spoke out, that was a very good example in the Bible. When he switched the game up, when Elijah was afraid of Jezebel, come on now, God took him to a place to be restored and refilled. It didn't negate what Elijah was called to do. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to see this. When I think it was Peter, them were on part of their journey somewhere over there in Acts. And an angel told them they were on assignment. They thought they were going where they were supposed to be going. And an angel said, you don't need to go that way, right? Numbers 22, 21, and 39, Balaam's donkey. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. It is not unusual for God to interfere with patterns and places and things that we think are of God or even to change direction of how he does something does not mean that he's not going to use you. Woo! Come on. Does not mean he's not going to use you. And I think we emotionally tie ourselves to certain things because we think that we're going to, when he's changing plans, we think God is changing his minds about us, but he's not changing his mind about you. He doesn't change his mind about you. You have to stop associating your relationship with God with what you do. He has told us multiple times in the word that it's not by your acts. You are not a child of God because of your acts, your works. That is not why you are a child of God. You are a child of God because you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is a very firm foundation that is not built on anything else. God doesn't leave you. God doesn't forsake you. But perhaps if I tie my usefulness in life to purpose, because we can get into purpose-driven madness sometimes. God will call us into purpose, but we seek the kingdom first. Matthew said, we don't seek purpose. We seek the kingdom. We don't seek busyness. We don't seek usefulness. We seek the kingdom first. So perhaps God is leading you to a place, right, where he's pivoting, Ebony, or he's having you change up. You might have been in education for 40 years. And the Lord is coming to you and saying, okay, need you to come out of education, and I'm ready for you to go into a different direction because I want to set you over here and I want to use you in this place, right? Doesn't negate the, well, I'm called to teach. What if you're going to teach differently? I have degrees, taught at the university for 12 years, thought this was my course. I had a game plan to be vice chancellor of affairs. And then the Lord started reminding me of the dreams that I was having in my 20s to preach the gospel. So the plan that I was saying, oh, no, this is where I'm going. I know this is God. God has called me to this. This is how I'm going to do this. Boom, 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 boom. And then one day I became really dissatisfied. So becoming dissatisfied with where you are is probably a sign that God is about to, especially when you love what you do, like I love teaching. It's probably a sign that God may be switching the game up or sending you in another direction or altering your course for you to be used in more ways because we don't see it all. So if God is leading you to do something that's for the greater good, something that may reach more people. And when I say reach more people, you may reach one person and then the one person may turn around and miss 2,000. You are not stuck in one place forever if God doesn't want you stuck. So here's what you need to pray. This is what the Lord gave me for us this morning. Thank you, Lord God. You need to pray for your discernment to increase. Woo! Come on. You need to pray for your discernment to increase. You need to pray for your wisdom to increase. You need to ask God's power to increase. Come on, right? And you need strength to increase. Because you're going to need, if you have been married or committed to something for such a long time, and the Lord is saying it's time for you to walk away from that, or he's adjusting so that you can serve more good, you're going to need some discernment. You're going to need the wisdom of God. You'll need his power to detach and to reattach or to attach. And you're going to need his strength because it is hard sometimes walking away from things that have been a part of our life forever, right? This is what the Lord said to me. And then I just kind of went in there. It says, if your boat was headed into a storm, this is what I wrote down yesterday. He said, if your boat was headed in a storm, would you not want the captain to turn the ship? I was like, oh, yeah. If your boat was headed in a storm, would you not want the captain to turn the ship? I was like, yes, sir. I see what y'all don't see. I see what you don't see, right? I see what you don't see. I anticipate what you don't anticipate. I know the usefulness of where you need to be. I know where you're going to best serve me. I know where you're going to best serve me. This is God speaking. I know where you're going to best serve me. I know where your best fit is. Woo! I know where your best fit is. So you need, James talks about the wisdom that is from above, right? You need the wisdom that is from above. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy, right? There is a character of wisdom that is heavenly, and it comes with infinite knowledge. It is not human wisdom. Human wisdom comes from observation, analysis, and has a limited perspective. Human wisdom rejects anything which cannot be comprehended or worked out by human intelligence. Human wisdom just does it. I ain't feeling it. It don't agree with me. I don't like it. Well, I ain't hear God on that. But I ain't spent no time really before the Lord praying over the thing, being led by emotions and experience. Human wisdom has, while reason, evidence, and knowledge are important, they don't lead a person to accept the truth of God. Woo! In this season, Patsy, in this season, you, Patricia, in this season, you need the truth of God. You need that which may only, it'll wind up being theologically sound, but it will only be able to be discerned by the Spirit. And you can look at Romans 1, 18, 23, talking about fallibly accepted truth. So his wisdom, Kevin, let me help you. His wisdom keeps us from being distracted by showmanship. Come on, y'all, I'm almost through. His wisdom keeps us from being distracted by showmanship. See, we will be connected to a wisdom of us that is attached to showmanship. You ever ask yourself why you do some of the stuff you do? And who are you doing it for? And why did you post it? And why are you going there? Because his wisdom takes us away from showmanship. And his wisdom keeps us from being distracted. When I first started going, I'm going to tell myself, when I first started going into my PhD program, somebody had said something negative to me. And the reason that I wanted to go into the PhD program was to prove to him, to them, I was not who, what, and what they said. Got into the PhD program. Can I tell y'all something? I'm 90 hours. All I need to do is go back and defend a dissertation. I have no desire now. I will if the Lord tells me, but I don't care. People come to me and say, you know, you need to finish that thing. God is a finisher. Well, God ain't told me to finish my PhD. When I stopped going through my PhD program, I stopped so that I could tend to my husband and children, which was my first ministry. Because I had too many irons in the fire and I was doing too many things and I was out of balance. So when I stopped my PhD program, it was so that I could rightfully do my first ministry, which was my late husband and my children, right? I'm just gonna be honest. But I had to be sensitive enough and have the wisdom of God to walk away from what looked like was fruitful, but was not necessarily what God wanted. It was my own emotions, my own feelings, my own things, my own attachments, my own ways. His ways, Isaiah tells us his ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. My God. So his wisdom keeps me from being distracted. His wisdom also keeps me from producing things in showmanship, doing things in showmanship, responding to life in showmanship, because we'll get in a mentality of, I'm going to show them I'm not what they said, or I'm going to show them. I challenge myself all the time. Why are you doing this? And if I feel a little grief, why are you doing this? Why have you committed yourself to this? Why are you involved in this? Why are you saying this? Why are you whatever? I'm going to say this and I'm going to end and I'm going to pray for us. I had the hardest time, because I really never charge much for Pillow Talk. I had the hardest time charging what I charge for this Pillow Talk, but I know it was the Lord. I know he gave me the number. I know what he said to me. And it was crazy because somebody confirmed what God was telling me. And they were like, I know you had a hard time charging this. And the Lord said to me, he said, people pay for everything else. Like if it was a cruise somewhere, if it was a whatever else, he said, people pay for everything else. Why can't people pay for something if you offer them a product? Why can't they pay for that too? You can't continue to operate at a level, Lakeisha, that's pleasing, because I'm so for people. You cannot continue to operate at a level that's for people. When it comes to spiritual things, people disdain like the church or the ministry, but it could be a 4-day weekend retreat somewhere else, and people would pay more than that at any cost, like just to jump on it. Just especially if a name was affiliated, associated with it. And then somebody texts me and said, I know it was hard for you to charge this, but I know this is what God told you to charge. And God was like, yeah, people pay for everything else. Whoever's supposed to be there gonna secure their spot and pay for it, and you're gonna know exactly what I'm doing. And I said, yes, sir, I'm gonna obey. I'm gonna trust you, and I'm gonna obey you, and I'm gonna do what you asked me to do because you're calling me to do it for a particular reason. Now, October may not look like that, but what he said for San Diego looks like that. And he said, everybody is supposed to be connected. He said, so the goal is to always listen to me, not the people. Can I say this, Holy Spirit? Can I tell you something? For you or y'all in business, you will. I'm not going to say that. People will get off. I'm going to say this. I'm not trying to offend nobody. You need to hear me. People will get off of you free, what you give out free, and then go pay somebody else for it. And it ain't no different what you've been handing out free. I'm going to help some of you business entrepreneurs. Help. People get off of you what they can get off of you free, but go pay somebody else because it look effective. It look effective. Or it look a certain way. They'll get off you free. They'll get it off of you. They'll sit and eat at your table. I'm just being honest. It's not a shade or a shot at nobody. I just need you to hear me. And we undercut ourselves sometimes when God gives us a gift or a certain thing or a certain way to do things. We'll undercut ourselves trying to be cool and good. People will sit and let you mentor them, pour into them, all the other stuff. And then go pay somebody else $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 for what you've been giving them free. So you got to know your assigned worth to what God has called you to do and not be ashamed. I remember one of my mentors told me that. He said, the people that are for you and connect to you, they'll pay what you charge. They'll pay what you charge to mentor, to whatever. Can I be honest with y'all? I cut out mentoring because people didn't want to pay for it. They wanted me to not charge them hardly anything because I'm called to the gospel. And became critical. Thought it should be free. I'm like, I'm up here Tuesday through Saturday free. So you need to know it. Your value, your worth is a sign and setting. It's not for showmanship. It's not for you to be distracted in business. If you are called to certain things with hair, come on. Y'all called to medicine. Come on. Called to teaching. You gotta just know that. You just gotta know that. John Elmore. Hey, if you need me, inbox us and we'll pray over your marriage, okay? We're praying over your marriage. I want your stuff to be private. So just know that. No, don't be afraid to shift and pivot in your business and to up your prices or to do what you need to do so that you can flow into what God has called you to do. The The people that are assigned to you, that's another part of this. The people that are assigned to you will pay, they will pay for it, Ebony. They will, sometimes people become too common with us or so used to us and our giving hearts or our way of handling stuff that they don't want to. But people, the people that are supposed to be connected to you and do what you're supposed to do, will pay for you. They'll do it. I'm just telling you that. All right, I love you. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your people today. Let us sit in this wisdom. Let us get knowledge, discernment, and understanding. If you're asking us to shift, if you're asking us to pivot, if you're asking us to grow, if you're asking us to move around, let us be able to discern what you are saying to us today in Jesus' name, amen. And don't let nobody make you feel good, bad, because you saved. And I don't know where we get this from. You saved and you in a business, or you saved and you called to be a master speaker or whatever else. Don't let nobody make you feel bad about your prices. The right people will pay your prices. Miles Monroe has one of the most powerful teachings. And he was dealing with Les Brown. He was getting ready to go preach somewhere. And Les Brown was like, what do you want to make? And Miles' head number was so low. He was like 4,000. And Les was like, what? So Miles, the people called him and was like, come speak. And Les was like, you need to up your prices. And Miles Monroe said, you know what? I want $10,000 for this trip, right? So he sent it over to the people, and the people paid $10,000. Miles had to assert and set his worth so that God could move and do what he was supposed to do through Miles. You need the resources to support the vision. It's not about your blow up. It's not about all the purses you buy and all that other stuff. Stop thinking in terminal, little tangible things. If the sum total of who you think God is in a purse or a house, you have missed who God is. He'll give you those things because you prioritize King first, and you don't even have to seek after those things. I promise you, I know stuff just show up all the time for me. So let me pray over you. I need you to get that. I need you to understand that. Seek that stuff. Stop letting stuff fill you up, or you'll miss really what God is supposed to do. Because anytime you're in a situation where God asks you to remove all that stuff for your life, I had to start over twice, I think, maybe three times. And each time my heart grew more tender and responsive because my attitude was wrong. And I thought the evidence of God showing up in my life was the fruit of things. But really the evidence of God showing up in my life was influence and favor. I thought it was the fruit of things. I thought that God showing up in my life was the fruit of things, but it really was influence and favor. He would influence and give me favor. Because if his favor writes any check or opens up any door, that a check can't write. So three times I've had to be put in positions for my heart. I hope I got it this time. I hope I got it this time to be put in positions where I didn't have a lot, so that I can really learn the dependency of God and to keep his first as a priority, even for marriage. For me, marriage had become such an idol in God, and I thought it was going to save me. God couldn't let me walk into a season of another marriage where another man became another God. It's to grow up. So I had to learn how to love him completely. And he didn't chat. It wasn't God was whooping me. It was a series of lessons and deserts and valleys that the Lord allowed me to walk through. He never left me. But in each time I've learned that this don't mean nothing. This don't mean nothing. Yeah, Ebony, favor is better than anything organized. So, Lord, bring us into more understanding of you. Bring us into more understanding of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Two things. One, if the Lord places it on your heart to partner with this ministry, go over to the website. You can give there, lmjministries.org. We got Feed the Streets coming up in April. You learn about Drew Projects, Flint Global, our mission and our initiatives. We are to bring change to this world. You can find all that out there. And then the second is, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is your moment. I tell people all the time, 27 was the year that Jesus changed my life. I grew up in church, but I didn't come to know who he was until I was 27. So it's not too late for you. That's you. If you want to meet the game changer, if you want the game changer in your life, starts with the confession of faith. That's how the kingdom works. You can't keep your mouth closed in the kingdom. So if that's you, I want you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm in need of a savior. I'm asking you to come into my heart to take away my sins. I promise to love and follow you best I can. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Pray that prayer. Send us the email info@justbeinglmj.com. Don't forget to share the book. Hey, y'all. Can I say April 6th? Oh, I should have put the cover up. April 6th. I'm trying not to cry. We will be releasing 30 days of prayer targeting your children's lives. My God, I'm reading April 6th. April 6th is my grandmother's birthday. I wanted to release it on her birthday. I'm so excited about this book. I want you to get copies. I want your church to buy copies. It is kingdom. It is you learning how to pray for your children, your grandchildren. One of my editors was reading through it, and she was like, my God, if the anointing is not on this. She said, this is timeless. She said, as I was reading this, I was convicted, because she's a teacher as well. I was convicted about how I handle my classroom. When the book comes out April the 6th, when we drop the book, I need you to go order your copy of the book. I need you to order multiple copies of the book. And then if you are a writer, we want to publish you. We want you to get with us, and we want to publish you. We have a publishing company, LMJ Inc. That's another assignment that I have on my life to help you get your voice out to the world. I love you. God loves you. I love you. God loves you. I love you. God, and I ain't publishing for free. Keep right there. We ain't publishing for free. We're going to give you a package that you can afford, but we're not publishing for free. I done sold for years. I know that it ain't free to say. It ain't free. I love you. God loves you. We'll be back in the morning at 6 a.m. Invite somebody in. Love, peace, and blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.